So, I was thinking about this earlier. What if the absolute most powerful artificial intelligence in the world next year isn't, sitting in some billion-dollar server farm, but instead it's currently being trained on your laptop, right there on your desk while you sleep for basically pennies?
I mean, that is the exact shift we're seeing. Because for the last few years, using AI has felt a bit like wearing a one-size-fits-all poncho.
Yeah, a giant plastic poncho.
Exactly. I mean, sure, it covers you, keeps the rain off, but it's baggy, it's awkward, it, catches on things. And it certainly wasn't tailored to fit your specific daily workflows.
Well, welcome to this custom deep dive, where today's mission is really exploring that staggering shift happening right now. The whole tech landscape is just rapidly shrinking down to size. We're moving away from those massive, expensive generic systems and going straight toward hyper-customized, lightning-fast tools that you can run locally.
And autonomously, too. That's a huge part of it.
Yes, autonomously. And today's stack of notes, which is pulled directly from the March 18, 2026 edition of Abernumic News Tech and AI Daily, really highlights this. So, let's unpack this, starting right at the top of the corporate ladder.
Yeah, where that generalized AI model is just officially breaking down. They are favoring deep specialization now. And, I think the prime example of this evolution is Mistral AI's latest release. It's a platform called Forge.
Forge, right.
Yeah, it's an enterprise AI model training platform, but the entire architecture is designed to let companies train custom frontier models directly on their own proprietary data. It's a fundamental departure from just renting space in a generic chatbot.
Right, because if you're a highly technical enterprise, a generic LLM is essentially useless for your core business, right? It's kind of like hiring a temporary worker who needs every single thing explained to them every single day.
Yeah, what does this acronym mean?
Exactly. Here's our compliance policy. Here's how we format our engineering schematics. Using Forge seems more like hiring a veteran expert who already knows the company's secret handshake and all the internal rules.
It's actually even more fundamental than just being a veteran worker. It's about deep structural integration. If we connect this to the bigger picture, just look at who Mistral is partnering with for the Forge rollout.
Right, ASML and the European Space Agency.
Exactly. ASML manufactures the lithography machines that create the world's most advanced microchips. And the European Space Agency is launching, multi-billion dollar orbital platforms.
The stakes are slightly higher than writing a marketing email.
Just a bit. These organizations cannot afford a generic AI that just hallucinates a mathematical variable. They inherently require models that natively understand their proprietary engineering physics and incredibly strict compliance regulations.
Without constant prompting.
Right, no hand-holding.
And according to the release, Forge features this agent-first design, which includes autonomous fine-tuning capabilities. So it isn't just a static model they buy once.
Oh, wow. Yep.
It actively works to adapt itself to the enterprise.
Yeah, because in the past, fine-tuning a model to understand a company's specific data, that required a dedicated room full of data scientists manually adjusting the model's weights.
Just tweaking parameters all day.
Exactly. Forge automates that entire loop. It acts as an autonomous agent that continuously analyzes the proprietary data flowing through the company, and it shapes the underlying model to fit the exact contours of their changing needs.
Wow. So, space agencies and microchip giants are getting these bespoke, self-updating AI brains. But how does this trickle down to you, the listener?
Right.
Because there's usually a multi-year gap between enterprise breakthroughs and what a normal person can actually use.
Normally, yes. But that gap is collapsing significantly faster than historical trends would suggest. Which brings us to a major open source launch that's really stepping up to challenge LM Studio.
Unsloth Studio.
Yes, Unsloth Studio. It's a platform for training and running LLMs entirely locally.
And the specifications on this are just sweeping. Like, Unsloth Studio features a web UI capable of training over 500 different models,
It's massive.
and it runs completely locally across Mac, Windows, and Linux. It supports vision models, audio models, it's Llama.cpp compatible under an Apache license, and it supports the GGUF format, which I see mentioned everywhere, but honestly, it's rarely explained well.
Right. GGUF is crucial here. To put it simply, it's a highly advanced compression format. It mathematically trims the computational fat off these models. So it allows a very large, highly capable AI to be squeezed down so it can actually fit and run on standard consumer hardware without losing its fundamental intelligence.
That counts. But I need to challenge one specific feature listed here in the Unsloth release, because frankly, it sounds too easy to be real.
Oh, the PDF thing.
Yes. It claims auto dataset creation directly from PDFs. I mean, are you telling me that anyone with a messy folder of random PDFs on their laptop can just point the software at it and spin up a custom fine-tuned AI locally without writing any training scripts?
I mean, the skepticism is totally warranted considering how tedious dataset curation used to be, but that is exactly the pipeline Unsloth has built.
Wow.
You no longer need to manually format thousands of lines of text into clean JSON training data. The software autonomously parses the PDFs, structures the information, generates the training dataset, and even has a code execution environment to automatically test the model once it's built.
That is wild.
It really is. But the true paradigm shift here lies in their efficiency metrics. Unsloth is achieving 2 times faster training speeds while using 70% less VRAM.
Wait, 70% less VRAM? Because for anyone who's tried to run local AI, VRAM or video RAM on your graphics card has always been the ultimate gatekeeper.
It is the absolute bottleneck. Training an AI traditionally requires holding the entire model, the gradients, and the optimizer states all simultaneously in your graphics card's memory. And VRAM is incredibly expensive.
Right.
Unsloth bypasses this hardware barrier through some highly clever mathematics. Instead of loading the entire massive matrix into memory to calculate changes, they rewrite the fundamental math kernels to only calculate the specific changes needed.
So they're just updating a tiny fraction of the parameters.
Exactly. By reducing the VRAM requirement by 70%, they pull AI training out of the specialized server farm and place it squarely onto the consumer laptop.
Which completely democratizes the power of custom AI. But if the open source community is making these tools so incredibly lean, fast, and accessible for the average person, how are the massive tech giants responding?
Oh, they're definitely feeling the pressure.
Right, because for the last decade, the corporate strategy was purely bigger is better. Trillions of parameters, gigantic data centers.
Yeah, but the tech giants are observing this open source efficiency, and they are pivoting their offerings aggressively. OpenAI's latest release of their GPT 5.4 mini and nano models is the perfect illustration of this.
Okay, yes.
They're shifting from focusing purely on scale to competing on ultra efficiency.
And here's where it gets really interesting, because the performance benchmarks for these smaller models are just staggering. The GPT 5.4 mini model scores within 5% of the full massive GPT 5.4 model on coding benchmarks.
Which is incredible.
Right. Yet it operates twice as fast as the previous GPT 5 mini. It features a 400K context window, which is essentially the ability to hold a few thick novels worth of text in its active memory at once, and it's fully multimodal.
Yeah, the mini is great.
But the nano model is the one that really caught my eye. It's optimized for simple tasks, and it costs an astonishingly cheap 20 cents per 1 million tokens. For context, the mini model costs 75 cents per million.
Right.
It feels like if the full GPT 5.4 model is the head chef in a high-end restaurant, the nano model is like the expediter at the front of the kitchen.
The kitchen expediter analogy is a great way to visualize the software architecture. But to push that further, imagine that expediter never sleeps, handles 10,000 complex tickets a second, and only costs pennies a day.
Wow.
Nano is designed specifically for rapid task routing.
And why does that specific 20-cent price point matter so much for task routing?
Because of the economic reality of continuous operation. When developers build live conversational workflows, they're building AI systems that constantly ping back and forth, making hundreds of micro decisions in the background.
Okay.
If you have an AI agent sorting your emails, scheduling meetings, fetching data from the web, it is generating and consuming tokens every single second. At 75 cents per million tokens, an army of background agents might literally bankrupt a small startup at scale.
That adds up fast.
But at 20 cents, suddenly, having an automated fleet of agents constantly routing tasks becomes economically viable. The operational cost just becomes microscopic.
Okay, let's step back and look at what we've covered. We have Mistral shrinking models conceptually to fit strict enterprise compliance.
Right.
We have Unsloth shrinking the mathematical VRAM requirements so you can train models on a laptop.
Oh.
And we have OpenAI shrinking the financial cost down to 20 cents for task routing.
It's all getting smaller.
Right. So what does this all mean for the underlying code? Like, how are developers actually achieving this unprecedented speed? Because my notes mention a breakthrough that sounds bordering on absurd.
The weight norm clipping.
Yes. Researchers achieved an 18 to 66 times speedup in transformer learning using a simple 5-line technique called weight norm clipping. Now, I have to push back here.
Okay.
Billions of dollars and years of research have poured into AI architecture. Are you seriously saying a 66x speedup was just sitting there hiding behind 5 lines of code?
I mean, it sounds completely improbable, I know. But it beautifully highlights how nascent the field of machine learning actually is. To understand why those 5 lines matter, we have to talk about grokking.
Grokking, right. Yeah. In artificial intelligence, grokking is a well-documented phenomenon where a model transitions from merely memorizing its training data to suddenly understanding the underlying generalized pattern. It's the aha moment for the AI.
Got it.
Historically, getting a model to grok requires a vast amount of computational time and energy.
And weight norm clipping accelerates that aha moment. How does a mathematical clip achieve that?
Think of an AI learning a new concept like a sports car, accelerating on a slick track.
Okay. Yeah.
If you don't limit the speed of the tires, the car gets wobbly, overcorrects, and just spins its wheels. It memorizes the noise of the track instead of learning how to drive smoothly. Weight norm clipping acts exactly like a traction control system.
Oh, yeah.
By putting a hard, strict mathematical limit on how fast the AI's internal connections or weights can change during training, it forces the AI to find the smooth, generalized pattern instead of frantically over-adjusting.
And that's just 5 lines of code.
That traction control is achieved in just 5 lines of code, yes. But it forces the model into that state of true understanding up to 66x faster.
That is a phenomenal analogy. It prevents the AI from just spinning its wheels on useless data.
Exactly.
And with models getting this fast to train and this cheap to run, the infrastructure surrounding them is just exploding. Look at LangChain Deep Agents. It just hit repo of the day on GitHub, pulling in over 1,400 stars.
Oh, yeah. LangChain is moving fast.
It's an agent framework that features planning tools, a file system backend, and crucially, sub-agent spawning.
What's fascinating here is how these disparate tools collide to create a totally new ecosystem. Sub-agent spawning means an AI can literally create, delegate to, and deploy smaller AIs to handle specific subtasks autonomously.
That sounds slightly terrifying.
Well, you are introducing a level of autonomy that is incredibly powerful. But if you connect this to a local machine with a file system backend, it becomes a massive security vulnerability.
Right, because if an autonomous AI is writing code, managing files, and spawning its own sub-agents on your laptop, the potential for a rogue agent to accidentally delete your hard drive or alter core system files is huge.
Which is exactly why the infrastructure updates happening alongside LangChain are not just convenient. They are the required immune system for local AI.
Interesting.
We are seeing Python 3.15 JIT optimization getting back on track to accelerate underlying code execution. But more importantly, we are seeing the release of tools like Edge.j, which allows developers to run Node.js applications inside WebAssembly sandboxes.
I want to focus on WebAssembly for a second because it's often mentioned but rarely explained in terms of security. Why is running an agent inside a WebAssembly sandbox so critical?
Because it acts as a quarantined glass box. If we're going to have AI agents spawning sub-agents locally, we need physical isolation from the host operating system.
Right, keep them contained.
Yes. WebAssembly provides an environment where the AI can think, act, and execute code all at once, but it is mathematically restricted from reaching out and touching your computer's core registry or file system without explicit permission.
Okay.
Add in the new FFmpeg 8.1 release for ubiquitous secure media processing, and developers now have an entire toolkit ready for building autonomous multimedia AI agents that run safely on consumer hardware.
It just feels like software is entirely unbound right now. I mean, we are outsmarting physical VRAM constraints with math, we're slicing training times by 66x with traction control clone, and we're safely quarantining rogue sub-agents in digital glass boxes.
A lot of software magic.
It really feels like software can engineer its way out of any limitation. But our final source material today serves as a brilliant transition away from the limitlessness of software back to the rigid reality of the physical world.
Oh, the Xbox story.
Yes. The 2013 Xbox One, a console Microsoft considered basically unhackable, has finally been cracked 13 years later. And the method wasn't some clever line of code. It was a physical technique called voltage glitching.
This raises an important question, or rather, it highlights a fundamental truth that often gets lost when we talk about 400K context windows and sub-agent spawning.
Which is?
The entire digital world, all the highly advanced AI, all the WebAssembly sandboxes, it's ultimately bound by the physical laws of hardware and flowing electricity.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by the mechanics of this voltage glitching. To break it down conceptually, digital security usually relies on a perfect sequence of checks, right?
Exactly.
The software asks the hardware, is this game authorized with a valid signature? The processor compares the signature to the authorized list, and if they match, it says yes. But the hardware requires physical electricity to execute that compare instruction.
Precisely. The processor is literally moving electrons through silicon to make that comparison. With voltage glitching, hackers deliberately drop the power supply to the processor for a fraction of a microsecond at the exact nanosecond the chip is executing that security check.
Wait, so they are starving the chip of power right when it's supposed to lock the door?
Yes. It essentially induces a temporary stroke in the processor. Because it lacks the electrical power to complete the comparison instruction, the instruction fails open or it skips it entirely and returns a false positive.
Wow.
The hackers bypass the digital lock, not by outsmarting Microsoft's cryptography, but by manipulating the physical reality of the electricity powering the logic gates.
That's insane.
It took 13 years to perfect the exact timing on the Xbox One, but it's a stark reminder that while software scales infinitely, hardware remains a physical, vulnerable, and incredibly rigid foundation.
It grounds the entire conversation so well. I mean, you can have the most advanced AI agent in the world, perfectly sandboxed, routing tasks flawlessly through a 20-cent nano model, but if the physical voltage drops, the entire digital illusion shatters.
Exactly. We push software optimization to the absolute bleeding edge, but the physical layer always has the final say.
Okay, let's take a breath and look at the trajectory of everything we've unpacked today. We started at the absolute peak of enterprise tech, looking at Mistral's Forge platform-building bespoke, highly compliant AI models that inherently understand the complex engineering data of massive entities like the European Space Agency.
Right.
Then we watched that technology shrink and democratize, observing OpenAI pivot away from just scale toward hyper-efficient 20-cent nano models designed specifically for rapid task routing. We explore the underlying mechanisms making this possible, like the traction control of weight norm clipping.
The 66 times speed up.
Yeah. And finally, we brought it all the way down to your personal laptop, where open source breakthroughs like Unsloth Studio are mathematically bypassing expensive VRAM hardware limits, letting you train over 500 models locally.
It is a profound shift in accessibility and capability. But the true implication isn't just that these tools exist individually.
What do you mean?
It's what happens when they inevitably begin interacting autonomously. Consider this. We now have Unsloth Studio automatically generating training data sets straight from raw PDFs.
Right?
We have LangChain Deep Agents fully capable of autonomously spawning their own sub-agents in secure WebAssembly sandboxes. And we have 20-cent nano models functioning as tireless task expediters.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
If an incredibly cheap autonomous AI agent is given a complex goal, it can now use Deep Agents to scour the web, gather its own PDFs, feed those directly into Unsloth, and autonomously train its very own highly specialized local model to solve that goal.
All running securely on your laptop.
Completely without human intervention.
That autonomous loop is entirely possible with the tools released today.
It is, but let's take that one step further, beyond just your laptop. If everyone has access to these incredibly cheap, self-spawning agents routing tasks for 20 cents a million tokens, what happens to the internet itself?
That's a huge question.
Very soon, when your local autonomous AI needs to buy a plane ticket or negotiate a software license for you, the website it visits won't be a graphical interface designed for human eyes. It will just be another autonomous AI agent representing the airline.
Wow.
The fundamental nature of internet traffic is about to shift from human to human to human to machine to an ecosystem composed entirely of microscopic 20-cent AI agents negotiating with other AI agents at light speed.
Completely cutting humans out of the daily operations of the web.
The tools for this machine-to-machine internet are officially here. The only question is, what are you going to build with them?
What a monumental thought to leave on. The era of the one-size-fits-all poncho is completely gone, and the tools to tailor your own bespoke autonomous digital reality are sitting right on your hard drive, just waiting to be unleashed. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious, keep exploring, and we'll see you next time.